and welcome to a new episode of Be a Fan Podcast. I feel like we have such a fast turnaround. We had our first ever live Twitch show last week, and you know, we really thank Knox for dropping by, and we're hoping more people can jump in and have be part of the discussion of how it is to be a fan. And tonight I once again will have our co-host Andrea on. How are you doing?
Chill.
Yep. Chill is good. In this hot summer down here in South Florida, I need some cooling. What's the weather down there in Mexico?
It's been raining. It's been raining a lot. Mm. A lot.
kind of a wet summer you're having so far.
Indeed.
Let's dive in, because this summer, as we're talking about the LCS, we just wrap up week two, and we're headed into a quote-unquote super week, week three, and then we're going to have three-week break. That's such a huge break, and I don't know if we had a chance to even talk about like this kind of like...
You haven't even thought about it, yeah.
Yeah, and let's jump right into this. Let's make it our first topic. Like, last time we had this in spring... Mark tried to argue it was 2 weeks, but it really felt like 3 weeks of nothing. And we're going to have this again, only this time we have, well, for some people, they might want to watch the Esports World Championship, but that was the reason why. But how do you feel about this break?
I'm just like, yeah. Feels yes. Like... Thank you, I guess. I don't know. It's so weird. We have less teams now, so I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of a break, we could have had more games, I think. But
yeah. Yeah.
Somehow we don't. So.
Yeah. I think they're trying to accommodate for Liquid and FlyQuest, who will be gone, partly, but that doesn't mean the other teams can't play.
Yeah, maybe they could have scheduled it differently. I don't know what they could have done, to be honest. Like, I mean, clearly they are trying out the best of three. Mm-hmm. It still feels so, like, I don't know. I'm not a team fan, but, like, if I was a team fan and I only get to see my team play once every weekend, I just feel like that's just not enough, you know?
Yeah. It feels like a quick weekend.
Like, every week you just get to see your team play one time. So, like... Mm. Okay, so it might be three games, but like it's still only one time and only versus one opponent, so it feels very.
it's there's a slowness to it, maybe and kind of like, I don't know how to describe it, but it certainly doesn't keep that momentum going, and you know, part of it is afraid of like how are the people coming back after the break, or is the interest still going to be strong from like casual fans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something we have to look forward to. Now, in spring, I think the dip wasn't too bad. I can't even remember if there was a dip in viewership. But for myself, I continue to jump right back in, very like, you know, wanting to know what happened to the teams during the break. Did they improve? C9 did not. But, you know, other teams like Team Liquid, really, the break did help them in spring. So I'm curious to see like how this break might help some of the struggling teams, and you know, does it change for some of the teams that are looking strong right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's one thing. And also, how does you know, Liquid and FlyQuest having to play internationally affect them for the rest of the split? That would be interesting. But I'm sure next year will be different. They're gonna have to change, right?
Yeah.
And hopefully no breaks in between, but I'm sure there will be more of a series than it is going to be a single game. You just have to figure out how all that would work out. But yeah, I'm not a fan of the break, and it might actually turn me towards watching more Valorant. Yes, I am jumping ship at some point to like, include Valorant in my watch schedule. Yeah, so... 3 week of emptiness, but for us, we will have guests on. We will try to have people here telling us about their fan experience, and we want to hear from you guys, from you all and gals, about your experience of being a fan, how you became a fan, what it is you're doing Whether you're a fan of the region, players, or team, we invite you to be on the show. So let's have some talk. Let's dive into week two. It is, I wouldn't say a lot of surprises, but certainly eyebrow-raising type of results going into day one. We actually have a sweep for both game series. And the first one was a lot of talks about how Immortals could upset C9. And, you know, they did it in spring. And they're going to come in and just, you know, take the series away from C9. I'm sure Sharpie was very vocal and adamant about that.
I want to say, I never believed in that. Well, be very clear, I never believed that was a real thing that could happen.
And it started right off the bat. C9 just trumped Immortals in under 30 minutes on a 13-2 kill total. And JoJo looked good, but Berserker, well, actually, Berserker had a 1-0-10, more assists than he did kills. It was Thanatos who actually showed up. He played way better than he did in week one, and I think maybe the jitters or the nervousness is out of the way. And he completely dominated the lane on his Gnar and his Kassante. Well, his Kassante wasn't so much as the dominance, but he played super well in the first game.
I mean, really? I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. Like, Castle was plainly seen. Like, I don't I don't want to take away from Thanatos, but I feel like that matchup looks so bad for Castle. Like,
this is sus why he would take that. I need to hear from him.
Yeah, and it was a counterpick too, no? Like, I don't... Well, actually, I don't remember if it was a counterpick.
I can look that up, but...
If he picked it blind, then, like, why are you picking... Glazing blind, this is not 2021. Like, it's just so. Yeah, I was so random.
It was the first pick of the second, like, after the second ban phase. Lee Sin was picked after the Gnar. Yeah, it's a counter pick.
Yeah, it was a counter pick. So it's like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, and Blaur is like just farming and then killing people and farming and killing people. And yeah, he just cartused it. He just did cartusing. It was just that. Jupin was having fun, a little bit too much fun again, as he does when he plays Zhonya. He just likes having fun. The second game was a bit closer because Tactical was actually kind of in a good position to carry. On the Seri, I feel. But
Yes.
Then C9 just killed him one team fight and it was kind of over.
By mid game, it was kind of flipped on its head and C9 just took over. But, you know, Chase for Mask, there's some questionable drafting and this goes back to the coach, right?
Time to blame Minero, yes.
Yes, it is time already. Wow, it's only week two. Look, Immortals is still doesn't have a losing record. They're still not the worst team, but it clearly shows that C9 is capable. And is this the turnaround? Is this the you know?
I think it's just Immortals calm down. I want to see them doing versus, I don't know, versus better teams.
Better teams. We might get that chance. Nope, not next week. Not next week.
Yeah.
All right. So, Dignitas versus 100 Thieves.
No, that's the one we wanted to see. Because, you know, 100 Thieves, as they're like, last split, they started pretty strong and they continued being strong, even if everyone was saying they sucked in scrims and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and Dignitas, this Dignitas team apparently also sucks in scrims.
Yeah.
But they are like made of a lot of really all-time players that know how to perform on stage. And they completely run over 100 Thieves. Like, it was...
The first game, it was a beating, a 20-13 kill. Of course, 100 Thieves tried to fight back. They were fighting back,
but like, it just never felt like they were in control.
I am so confused about the Sion support pick by Ayla. It you have other choices. Okay, they banned out the Tomcans, they banned out the Ornn. Braum would have been much better, like, pick, in my opinion. But you have Ayla going rogue with the Scion spellbook type of pick. Quid, our player of the week from week one, Quid, got destroyed by Jensen. It was...
I mean, I think this game, he was actually kind of getting a little bit of an advantage, especially because he was pushing him and River was finishing off the kills. So they were kind of pushing Jensen. The second game, definitely, I will say, he didn't seem to do much at all. And then this one, I do think he was trying to put pressure. It was just not enough. I think he didn't have enough pressure at the end of the day. And Jensen just scaled and got away with just chilling. Yeah,
you can do that on a Corki, but I do remember a lot of criticism going Quid's way in the Oracle Elixir Discord about the way he played. You know, Spica is pulling out the Zyra. Zyra is going to become meta in jungle at this point.
She's very, very fast clearer. And yeah, basically very broken with the new item.
And Sven got a very strong 10-0-3 game on the...
I think they let him farm. I think Mitch was going mid, and Mitch was like roaming a lot to help the rest of the team. So I think Sven was just farming stacks.
Oh, he had free farm.
Yeah, all the time on his own. So it was a little bit of a risky idea, because like you're just giving this champion that's very weak in lane just the freedom to do whatever he wants, and then he just goes off late and goes insane, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But the I liked watching the sniper licorice battle. I felt like that one was fun.
You know, yeah, I remember.
Sniper is very,
Oh, this one was a base race, right? This game, I remember now.
It got to that point. I didn't think that the Nexus was ever in danger, but it really got to that point. So the second game looked equally as like a stomp, but the mid game was kind of like back and forth a little bit until, you know, Jensen just ran away with the whole game.
Yeah, definitely think Jensen in this one was like... He was just chilling in lane, shoving up the farm. Sven was also like just playing. You know, they were clearly in their element right now. And like they were really in control. And yeah, I didn't feel like 100 Thieves had a chance.
Yeah, we just have to talk about like the jungle picks. Spica just went with Morgana. Never practiced on scrim on it.
Oh, he said that, yeah. AP junglers are just very strong right now, so we are seeing Karthus, Syrah. Mm-hmm.
Syrah.
Even Maokai builds a little bit of AP. So yeah, that's the meta right now, and Morgana.
And of course, the river picking the Vi got a lot of question mark before the game started.
It is kind of a pick that he will pick, but yeah, definitely doesn't... It feels like... I don't know about this draft. But
it was sus.
But yeah, in general, I just think that the players on Dignitas are just way more smart about the game.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
if they were chilling, if they weren't being pushed, then they were just gonna win. It's how it is. Like 100 Thieves needed to like slam them. Like,
yes,
just fist fight them and murder them. Otherwise, yes, we're going to leave.
So the result of this game actually brings something into a discussion. Are we more confirmed that Dignitas has a shot at Worlds at this point? And do we continue with the narrative that 100 Thieves were just not that good and now it's really showing up?
I mean... I think we already saw that in playoffs when they got completely destroyed by C9, and C9 wasn't even that cohesive of a team.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I feel like by the end of, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. I think they can still be good, but I don't think they are going to be a top team for sure.
Yeah. You know, there was a lot of Thunder Thieves fans that are telling me, like, yo, no, they're going to level up. They're going to look better in summer. At this point, they might, Dignitas might have surpassed them. I mean,
I feel like this is not a river meta. He's just so much better on ganking junglers and like
true
playing enabler. And yeah, everyone's better. I mean, like the farming AP junglers, it's just not the way they win games, you know? Mm. Maybe he can play them, but they don't win like that.
Right. And so that's too much to put on Quid's shoulder to carry the team, because I don't see that from each, and Sniper is still young, still developing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we might see 100 Thieves not in the conversation. So that's something to look out for. Let's see how they bounce back for this upcoming week, where they have a tough matchup coming up ahead for them. Let's finish out the week two then. So day one was two sweeps, and day two almost was, full game three, map three. And so this is another one where we, I can pick your brain on, you know, the NRG team. So FlyQuest had to go three games.
This series was hilarious.
Okay, I'll give you the floor. Go for it. I didn't watch too much of this one.
No. Oh my God. This was the most entertaining series of the weekend, I think, for sure. It's like, NRG are still so bad. Like, they're incredibly bad. Like, the first game is just feel like, what are we doing? PowerFox looks like he's picking his pocket Jone, and he's looking like completely done with his life. I remember I saw a comment about how Dokla was just protesting that they pick him Xante once again, and that's why his score looks like that. Like, you know, all of these things, and then the FBI picking Senna again and losing. It's like, it felt like, yeah, but like FlyQuest is clearly a very good thing, and then NRG still looked lifeless as ever in the first game. And then the second game, it was so funny because NRG was winning the whole time, but it didn't feel like they were winning. It was like they had the lead, but they were like playing from, like they were from behind. It was so weird. And then, but Contracts had a fantastic game, I think.
Yes.
Like, Contracts and who he had really good engages and like really good turns. And they basically made opportunities. And like Contracts had a really good pop game, which is something that we expect from him. I think even last split, he was kind of the best performer on this team. So
he was not the problem.
So he's still kind of like, I'm not saying he's playing perfectly, but like he's definitely still a strong player. And Palfox was also getting to actually do stuff. So it was a lot more. And like everyone had some shiny moments in this game. But it was so long. Like it was almost 40 minutes.
Yes.
And NRG had the lead the whole time, and it didn't feel like they were going to win. I was watching with my friends, and I'm like, "What guys, why are they playing like they are not winning? I don't understand." And it was like, I think Fly messed up one part, and then NRG finally got away with the game. But like, it was kind of funny that they lost to, like, Busio had a very sad game in which he died like a million times. He had his what we call the Hillisan cosplay, in which he just kept perma dying.
Gosh.
So like that was a little bit unfortunate for him. And I feel like Whipple also had like some funny incidents, and then he just started like roaming around the map aimlessly as Poppy. Yeah, because he kind of, I think something happened in his lane and he got messed up, so he just ended up just going around and not laning that much. It was kind of a really weird game. So I think FlyQuest maybe felt a little bit dizzy. But then the second game, they just come back and just slam them back.
Yes, the second game
Although
was
I say that
close.
Contrast was also like trying his best, and then he failed like a million Diana ults in a row, and then it was kind of really doomed. Yeah, so Contracts brought out the Diana, which was also kind of interesting. Like, yeah, that's where we are getting, you know, that's, I feel like, where the AP jungling is going.
That's exactly was the point I was making. This LCS pros are like really going everywhere with the AP junglers now. Mm-hmm. We see Morgana, we see a Diana,
Kertu, Syrah. Yeah,
I'm just waiting to see the Lilia.
True that we haven't seen any. I guess there were no Nidalee incidents this week.
No, that's true.
We were saved one Nidalee. Yeah, Quad had a really strong game 3 actually versus NRG. And yeah, NRG once again went back to their little pumpkin form. You know, they had a little bit of a Cinderella moment the game before. Provided by a lot of contracts doing stuff. I think he was really doing a lot of stuff for them. And then the third game, they went back to being a pumpkin. That's my explanation. I don't think NRG is that much better just because they won a game versus Fly. I think I'm not going to be rating them any higher just because they won one game. Although it was really funny that they won it.
They
are cooked.
They were leading, but they looked like they were playing from behind. That's got to be a talent at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So NRG, we're still not confident, and it's becoming
so
even the dive people, the people at the dive were talking about how NRG is doomed.
They're so done. Cook.
It's bad. Yeah, this team is not going to stay together, but I really hope they just build around contracts going forward.
I mean, it depends if they stay in the league at all. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, there's that. But okay, at least get NRG a contracts, a team.
A team for contracts.
Team for contracts. All right, on to the next one. Now, this one I thought was kind of funny. It was quick. Both games were under 30 minutes.
Yeah, they were super fast. But, like, these are the LCS champions, guys.
Yeah.
They know how to win games.
I think they played around a little bit in the early games, because at some part I felt like,
yeah, they were
in the second game, Shopify looked almost competitive.
Oh, Shopify was on the lead for, like, most the first half, even mid-game, up to mid-game. They were in the lead in the second game. So they were very stable. But then they made like one bad play, I think, and then TL turned around and just ran over them. I think, but yeah, I mean, I don't know if to read much into this. This is just Team Liquid, they are the LCS champions. They're supposed to do this.
I will point out one thing about Team Liquid. They've never been a good like mid-late game team for a while, and now they're turning that around, that they can make comebacks and they don't need a early game to win.
I say lead very, very
loosely.
I'm using the lead contest very loosely because it was like $500K gold. Like it wasn't that much. 500K, like it wasn't even 1K.
But it is against gold. Shopify, though, the team that everyone pegs as eighth place.
Yeah. They're still looking a lot like eighth place, but we will see. Like this is versus Team Liquid. I think it's very good that Team Liquid came out and just dominated like this.
Mm-hmm. Anything to say about your boy Tomio?
I think Tomio has not been having the best games yet. Unfortunately for him. But I also think that some of the game, well, last week especially, he was set up really badly. I do think they need to have some sort of, they need to have an advantage somewhere so that he can play towards him. Yeah, that's basically it. Which, in this case, Insanity was having a bit of a good weekend, I think. So he had that going for him, but definitely don't think he played it excellently for sure. So, but I mean, first stage game, so let's wait and see what happens.
this should be a good meta for him, right? He enjoys the more carry jungle type, but the team are also not giving him the resources. They're still funneling everything to Bvoy. So we shall see. But it's not bad. I mean, it gives a little bit of entertainment, but at the end of the day, Team Liquid just continues to show why they are the favorite to win this summer. Let me see. Yeah, not much stand out to me. Yan, Core, JG went back to the Lucian, Nami. You can never take Lucian away from Yan. Just keeps playing that combo.
He died in the 2v2? I'm pretty sure he died at some point. And it was kind of really funny.
You'll have one of those moments for Yan. So, oh boy. So the standing right now are the tied for first place, C9 and Team Liquid, with both a 2-0 series, with each also having a 4-1 total games. Dignitas and FlyQuest, FlyQuest, 100 Thieves, Immortals, all at a 1-1 series. But Dignitas has a better head-to-head, they have a better game total score. 3-2. Oh, because they swept. The rear is brought up by 0-2, NRG, and Shopify. Any surprises to you so far about how the standing looks out?
Nope. I'm not surprised at all that the standings are this way. I wish Shopify was better, for sure. Other than that, other than my wishful thinking, I think this is pretty expected. I expected Energy to be pretty bad. I expected Immortals to not be that good. I expected 100 Tips to do worse this split. And I expected Dignitas to be good. And I am glad they are good. So I did my community power rankings. I asked my community to do their power rankings, and I did the aggregate, and it turns out to be exactly the same as the standings. So we have like Team Liquid, Cloud9, Dignitas, FlyQuest, 100 Thieves, Immortals, Energy, Shopify. The most obvious thing here is the shifting of the Dignitas standing, because now they are at third. Last week, my community had ranked them at sixth. They had to quickly switch that up because... Yeah, Dignitas turned out to be pretty okay.
Pretty okay.
And then Immortals was fourth last week, and then they moved on to sixth because turns out they aren't actually that good. They just beat a very bad team.
Exactly.
So yeah, we will be tracking the community perception and what people are feeling like. I'm going to say I was a Dignitas believer from the past week, even after seeing them lose their series, I still thought they would look pretty good. So I had a lot of faith in them going on to this week, and it turned out to be right. So I'm very happy for them.
You are rewarded for your faithfulness. And I think they got here much faster than I thought, because the scrim still sounded really bad. Just awful. And they couldn't tell you that, the same thing.
They're like,
but you know,
these players know how to win.
Yeah, that is the conversation, right? Are they going to be the team that takes the world spot? And it looks like it's a battle between them, FlyQuest, and who would you put as another 100 Thieves? No.
C9.
It looks like C9 could take the second spot. But okay, we'll throw them in there.
No, I'm thinking Twin Blake with FlyQuest for sure at the Worlds. And then the question is if Cloud9 can manage to keep it steady enough to get the third. That's my view of it.
It's going to be fun to watch Dayton Test, because they get two games this week. We'll talk about that soon in our, the previewing of the week 3. So let's celebrate, though, because the player of the week is none other than the person who didn't get to play in the spring. Sven, the ADC for Team Dignitas.
Yeah, okay. So Sven is coming back from a good amount of time playing an entirely different role, which is support. Obviously, I say entirely different, but bot lane is bot lane, right? He has talked about how he thinks that playing support helped him a lot to understand how to play ADC better. Like, from a game understanding point of view, it might have done him a lot of good to play the role. Fun fact, Sven is the second player to win an LCS title playing two different roles. First was Huhi, who he won the LCS as a mid laner in 2016, mid-lane. And then as support in 2021. And Sven won the LCS as an ADC in 2020, and then as a support in 2022, I believe. Yes, 2022. So, he has, fun fact, he has during his career as a bot laner scored 7 pentakills. 6 Ooh. Of them went during LCS. 6 pentakills.
Wow.
In the LCS only. Yeah.
He did all that in the LCS. Oh.
Yeah.
That's off to him. I kept calling him a KDA.
I still remember. I still remember 2021 when he got like pentakill on Misfortune. Mm. And it was like the collector Misfortune. So it was like boom, 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 and everyone's dead. And we will be calling them like these pentakills. Yeah, and fun fact, he started calling himself Support King. When he rolled up to support, he started calling. I don't know if you ever seen him call himself Support King, but he does, and that was because Mithy used to call himself Support King, and he will sign his tweets with hashtag Support King. Support King. So you know. Sven and Mithy were a bot lane partner that was together for a really long time. So, like, they had that sort of camaraderie going on. So, yeah, Sven stole kind of that from Mithy.
And now he's no longer support again. Because
He's also the first ever player to win a title in both North America and Europe. Which is very hard. I know Huni tried really hard to do it, and he couldn't do it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would have pegged Huni to be the one to get it, but okay.
No, Huni won you twice. Then he came to NA and he was unable to win a single time. And then he went to LCK and he won, which is hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious that the one region that he could never win was North America. It's just the hardest
supposedly
region.
The weakest region, right?
It's the hardest region to win.
The hardest. We are just that hard. Yeah. Even Faker can't claim he won like 2.
Real. You know. Factual.
Yeah. Can't beat that. So we might actually have a future Hall of Famer on LDLCS right now. I vote him in.
His interview post the interview, he was like joking about like it's Dig season. I think the Dig season thing is so funny. It's so funny. I love it. It's so Dig season. I'm so excited for Dig season.
Oh yes, you can tell that they are excited too, and they're very hyped. The vibes are good on that team. Right
yeah,
now.
The vibes look really really good. Yeah.
So, congratulations, Sven, on your MVP, and welcome back to the ADC role. We'll take a quick look at the NACL and see what's going on there. I tune in from time to time to look into some of the games, and I think, you know, they did not disappoint. Dragonsteel, also formerly known as Maryville University, swept the new incoming team, CCG, 2-0. I will touch on some players that really perform well, at least on the stats line. What can you tell me about the combination of Spyrex, Scary Jerry, and Zyko?
I mean, this team has been together forever. Spyrex and Yuji have been together for years now, like since they were in FlyQuest Academy. Like, and the combination of Zyko, Scary Jerry has also been very long.
Why did I keep thinking he's new? But okay, he's been together for a little while.
I mean, new to the NACL maybe, but like Scary Jerry and Zyko have been in collegiate playing together for a really long time.
Gotcha.
Spyrex and Yuji have playing in the NACL for a long time together. So it's like they have different top laner, right? Who's
Zamudo.
Zamudo, right? replacing Niles now. So it's like the one really different thing, as you know, as I've been saying for a while, is that collegiate teams plays a lot of games. So like this is a collegiate team and they are very used to playing with each other. And this particular team only changed one player, and it's a top laner, which is, you know, top lane doesn't matter. So it's like, yeah, it's basically like you expect them to hit the ground running, you know?
And so they continue to, they're the defending NACL champ right now, right?
No, that's FlyC.
No?
Fly Challengers.
Fly one spring, I can't, but they were runner-up. They lost to
I think they were runner-ups, yeah.
Okay. All right, so they're gunning for the title. Definitely looking like a strong team right now, I think. Yeah, they are first place. The only 2-0 team in the NACL after week two.
It's kind of weird because not every team plays every week. In fact, at this point, we hadn't even seen a team in this week two. We hadn't seen some of the teams yet. So it's kind of, you know, NACL really? Scheduling. Yep. You hadn't seen Otter play, Blue Otter play, and we hadn't seen Winter play.
No, no, we did. Week two, they played.
Yeah,
AOE
I know.
AOE played against
but
Blue
they
Otter.
Haven't played before.
Oh. Oh, they haven't played before. Okay, that's why the records are looking so funky. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
that's
because now they're playing base every week. So it's like,
yeah,
some teams just debuted this week. It's the first time we see them at all.
It's
and then
yeah,
DSG played
and
again.
The,
so it's like yeah. There's teams that have two matches already and teams that only have one.
I think that's the function of having 10 teams but trying to fit the same type of format as the LCS, which you cannot work like that. Speaking of Blue Otter, their first showing, and they went 2-1 against AOE. Maybe all that like partnership with C9 actually helped. Let's see, they brought in, they have Quaker, Music, Samakin, Levitate, and Rovex on Blue Otter. Not a lot of names that I'm too familiar with, except
yeah,
Quaker.
Yeah, all of
but...
them. Okay. Samakin is an upcoming mid laner from who was very is calling a lot of attention from the OQs and from the scouting things that were happening at the start of the year. Robex has been in ACL before, but not to great success because he was on a really bad team, to be honest. Music and Quaker were on the same thing in last year, I believe. I don't think it was this year. I think it was last year. But they were in the same team, so they are like a top jungler that has played before together. Levitate is someone that should have been playing in ACL since last year, but he didn't because his team disbanded, even though he qualified. So, yeah, basically that's all you need to know about all of these players. Okay.
Well, they're getting their chance and looking a good showing for their first series.
Interesting lineup for sure. Very, all of them are kind of promising players. I think Music look pretty promising. Quaker is definitely... it was surprising that year where he played because his team kind of didn't do very well, but him and Music were performing pretty well. And I think Robex was one of the most interesting support prospects that we had. So we will be see if this time he gets to show all that.
See, this,
and
I'm
a big fan of Levitate.
Yeah. Levitate, okay. We got to watch out for him. And you know. Watch out. This is the one thing I do love from the NACL, the fearless draft. I'm seeing like drafts like Gwen and Rek'Sai.
Oh yeah, it's
Syndra.
Full fearless, so it's like 10 champs are completely disappearing from the list after the first game. So it's kind of wild.
And it really gives a lot of variety. I don't think AOE is a bad team per se. Moose Hater, everyone's favorite. Moose Hater. Is his name
may have a little
Moose
bit
Hater?
Frost. Yep.
Okay. I know his Moose something, but okay. The Russ, because he was out of the NACL
yeah,
for a while?
Yeah, he stopped playing for a bit. He took a vacation. Okay.
Gotcha. This is such a great name, though. He's the Garen player, right?
Exactly.
Never forget Goodson. Because of that.
Yep.
All right. Day two, we have Disguise against Team Liquid Challenger. Both these teams were kind of weird in the spring because they had high hopes going in, and they eventually made it or tried to make it.
I mean, they
climbed
looked
back
a lot in. Better at the end. So mm-hmm. it's just like the form of the inertia is pretty weird. Mm. I think.
And yeah, Disguise brought in Tomo, who was discarded by Dignitas. So
yeah, they needed a new butler and they needed a new jungler. That's basically the roles that they needed to fill.
It looks like Team Liquid held the same players. And so
yep, they have the exact same roster, no changes.
Game them.
Maybe the only team that doesn't have any changes because even FlyQuest had to change mid laner, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because they brought him, they promoted Quad. So yeah, good series. I mean, the first game was close, then game two was not as close, then game three was close again. But Disguise took the win for that one. Rounding out to our final game, FlyQuest Challengers or FlyQuest NCXT against Winthrop University. Pretty much a wild stomp in the first game and a almost like a solo queue-esque game for game two. When you have a scoreline of 34 kills to 21,
that's
something
hilarious.
Might have gone wrong. Something might have went wrong.
That's an ACL banger, though. That's how we like them.
It's not rare, but, you know, even with this kind of, like,
yeah, it definitely scoreline... has not been like that, so that's good to see that we're back to the good stuff.
The good old scrap it out. Shiden with a 10-8-11 scoreline on the Rumble Jungle. This is a game I must watch again to see what happened here, but it looks like a fun lineup. All right. So NACL, the standings are Dragonsteel 1, Blue Otter, followed by Fear, Starforge, Supernova, Disguise, FlyQuest, Team Liquid, Winthrop, and then pulling up the rear are AOE and CCG Esports. They will continue playing throughout the LCS break. Am I correct?
Sorry, what?
They will continue to play even though LCS is taking a break?
Yes.
I believe that's so, you know, great time to learn about these players, great time to watch and enjoy more League of Legends when LCS is on hiatis.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let us then turn to contents. LCS has continued to pump out contents. You know, we
yeah, very different, have different styles things. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We still have pros, which is very, I enjoyed very much just to kind of see the players and their thought process. Spika talked a lot about how this was his Morgana pick without ever practicing it in scrims. And let's see. Was it Spika on? No, Spika was on the last one. What am I talking about? It was Lucio, Licorice, and Yawn. Yes. Okay,
where
yes,
he said
Spika
that.
Did give an interview. Yes. I have to remember which interview that was. But pros was Busio, Licorice, Yawn, and they were talking about how these three has never come across with one another. They never interacted a lot with each other.
Mm-hmm.
The only time Busio ever interacted with Yawn was when they did a content together, which I'll talk about in a bit. So this is a rarity because in most shows, they have something in common, right? They were all junglers or they were all former teammates. This one was one that really... three different people from three different, ways how they got to the pros. And Emily was leading that conversation, which I think you should give it a watch if you haven't yet. It's great to listen to them talk about, how it is to be a pro, the preparations, and being such young players, aside from Licorice. Right. The second one, I do think you watched that one. I watched that one. The face-to-face where Inspired was talking to Jensen.
I was not live. Like, it premiered. I was right. I will be there no matter what. When I saw the premiere thing, I was like, heck yeah.
We gotta watch this. I think the LCS is making an intention of bringing these storylines that from the past, right? Talking Split was Sven and Yawn who had that moment where the handshake
beef.
Moment.
Yep.
And so they're trying to bring the beef up for Jensen and Inspire. And I felt like this one had a different energy to it.
It was right? Very kind of awkward, okay. Kind of really funny.
Yeah, what was your impression when you watched it?
That you were like, I don't know, it was really funny. I don't know, the way they talk about, like, just Jensen, for example, saying that he didn't even watch the interview. The, you know, the whole drama is about an interview that Inspired did, and he's like, ah, I didn't watch it. And it was like, I just think it's so surreal. But then this like, and then they randomly start talking about mid laners, and they, you can see them turn and start like laughing with each other when they start talking about, for example, Quad. Mm-hmm. And they're starting mm-hmm. like, no, that guy's
placement.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know. I thought that the whole thing was very funny. Like, it was very silly, very like, I not too serious, not too actually talking about the whatever mm-hmm. issue they have. Like, yeah. just funny.
I felt like they tried so hard to play it off like the community made too big of a deal out of nothing, and yet you I don't know if it's
Jensen
their facial
definitely
expression.
They didn't seem to think that it wasn't out of nothing. It's funny because he didn't watch it, but he seemed to have a lot of opinions about it.
Yeah, yeah. He claimed he read the Reddit.
Yeah, he clearly read all the comments. So it's like, why didn't you just watch the thing? But like, yeah, he did not watch it, but he seemed very informed about what it was about and about what it said and about. So he clearly seemed to think to have an opinion about it.
And he also mentioned, like, why didn't you flame Whippo, which is what
that was
Mage
hilarious.
Did.
That was hilarious. So it's like, why didn't you flame, like, bro? So he clearly is a little bit resentful. So it's like,
Though I do have to say, Jensen is seems more grown up now back compared to his reputation when he was first.
I mean, he's older now. He used to be a teenager, like, yeah, you kind of, when you get old, you start being a little bit more chill.
Yeah, the questions was very pointed to get them to talk about, like, what happened, right? But he was like, oh, no, we just didn't play well individually in the finals and all that. But, man. The other thing that came out from this is the big talk that FlyQuest is now seen as the villain team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you agree? Do you disagree?
I mean, they clearly are the villains of the LCS right now. It's impossible to not see them that way. It's like the way they are portraying themselves. And even if it's just Inspired, it's not just Inspired. It's just...
No.
It just feels like a general vibe of the league is like, they are the contenders. Because right now, the winners are Team Liquid, right? And Team Liquid, that's kind of the good guys right now. So to have a villain, you need to have like good guys. So good they guys, are like the opposite of them. No, they have to beat them, and they are like the kind of a little bit rude, a little bit, you know, too abrasive. So they have become. Although I guess it might just be inspired with. But like, it's just they talk so much. It's like, what are we gonna do about it? Like, it's just what they do.
And I enjoy the talking. Really, again,
I don't think it's a bad thing. By the way, like, having villains is a good thing. It's a good thing. Like, for how long did we have TSM and they were the villains of the LCS?
That's right.
The team that everyone loved to hate, and it's like that's also part of the sport. You know, it's also part of the fandom of the sport, that you will have teams that you will root against, that you want them to lose so bad that it's kind of cathartic to see. I still remember when TSM lost to Clutch Gaming in that playoff series in 2018, like how powerful that was, because TSM doesn't lose. You know, they don't lose. And then suddenly they are here and they get completely humiliated by these random people who, like, no one put a single thought into. Like, the Clutch Gaming roster was Solo, Lera, Feviv, and Apollo in Hakko. So, like, yeah.
That's a throwback.
So, like, that was such a big moment because of the fact that TSM was an institution, and because they had a lot of fans, yes, and they also had the entire rest of the community that wasn't fans praying on their downfall. So it's like, it's a big part of how, so like, building up villains, it's kind of important. For a good amount of time, C9 kind of took in that banner of the villain, but they didn't kind of take it as well. It's like
it was something missing. They weren't exactly everyone wanted to hate on them or anything.
But they were winning so much, it was kind of a little bit boring. But other than that, it didn't really feel like you were actually. I mean, I hate C9, so I almost rooting for them to lose, you know. But like, it has since when they were super dominating, you start to rooting for them to not do so well. It's what happens, you know. So like, I don't think it's normal and natural, and it's kind of a good for the storylines, you know, to have
their stories for the narrative.
And I think they know it. I think Spirit especially, he knows that what he's doing. He's like, any press is good. Any press is good press, you know. So like, I'm gonna keep talking, and people are going to start noticing. And the only thing he has to do realistically to like have all of these waved off is winning, you know. Because at the end of the day, if they win, who cares?
Right.
Who cares if they are the bad guys? They are winning.
And you'll have people rooting for there to lose, but you have more eyes, more people trying to talk about.
Yeah. If people get mad, it's their loss, you know. Like,
it's perfect. It works out well. It's just what could the dissonance in my head is. FlyQuest has always been the clean image organization. Yeah,
but it has been a really long time since FlyQuest has been that organization. Like, they have changed a lot during the past 2 years. So I think it's. It definitely feels weird, but like at this point, I'm already used to the new FlyQuest, so it's like
that's good overall as a fan and draw interest. All right. Speaking of content, I did a little, power rankings as I'll do every Monday. I'll just talk about my top three. You can read the rest of it on my timeline, my Twitter timeline. And third place, I have Immortals content. I mean, they've been killing it the whole season, and certainly being a top three gives them another like creativity and showing. I just wish more people watch it. They did a Pictionary game for the players, and it's hilarious. Listening to Tactical is just hilarious every single time.
Tactical is very funny.
He's awesome, man. Armeo just has that like face, you know, that are you serious type of face when every time I see him interact with Tactical. It's one of the best thing. Number two is FlyQuest. We just talked about them. They did a LCS Mundo dodgeball with the whole team. Four teams, two pros, one Mundo. And kind of settling who's the best Mundo, and just listening to them talk is quite hilarious. Did you get a chance to watch that one?
No, I did not.
No. Okay. Go ahead, will not stop laughing. And of course, my favorite all time for that week was the Team Liquid. They invited Boostio to be part of them. Do pros have
Riz?
Oh
no, not the Riz one.
It's so painful, but it's so funny to watch.
It is very painful to watch.
Oh. And you have to listen to Jan's responses. The man is absolutely terrified talking to girls. Looks like, and it shows there. And it's so crazy too, because when you watch his interviews and you watch him in like, you know, those LCS pros and whatnot, he looks so confident. He talks so freely in that video. Oh my gosh, you just have to listen to his responses and you will not stop laughing. Yeah, give it a watch. Guys, they are making these contents and more people need to be watching and talking about them, because I want more to happen. We had a really dry streak of content last year, right? Not a lot of things were being produced, but now they're pumping out constantly, and I really appreciate them for it. Ask you all, if you want to do your own rankings, go ahead. I want to see, compare our thoughts and you know, just continue to promote teams and the people that put these together. They work hard. I will say, when you're just giving me voice comms or, you know, short documentaries that I've seen over and over again, I might not rank you as highly, but I'm not saying that your work is not good. I'm just, you know, I like creativity. I like fun stuff. So that's that. last thing to talk about, the pre-break schedule. Thursday is when the first game will start. They will play another game on Friday, then Saturday and Sunday. I didn't realize that. I thought it was just Thursday, Friday. First day up, Immortals against NRG. Bottom two teams.
Fun.
Do you have any good feelings about...
Not that. Which Hope way, it's fun. Hope it's hilarious. Hope they do a lot of really silly things. Hope Tactical gets a pentakill. That's my thoughts.
That's going to be what you're looking for, huh? Friday, we'll have two games, two series. 100 Thieves versus Team Liquid. Again, not a good way to bounce back for 100 Thieves. They have a tough opponent to get out of that.
They definitely bump. Do. I think TL should for sure smash that series. If they don't, I will start doubting them a little.
Ooh, it's going to put them in a hole, right? In 1-2. And then Shopify against C9. Oh, go ahead.
No, sorry. I mean, they shouldn't lose a single game. That's what I'm saying. They're going to win that series, but like they shouldn't lose a single game. If they lose one game, I start doubting them.
Ooh. Okay. I would be more inclined to say that Team Liquid may be having a happy game before they go up.
Yeah. It could be a happy game, but I still think they shouldn't be having happy games versus 100 Thieves.
The second series, not as exciting on paper, but maybe it'll look exciting on the screen.
Those both series...
Shopify against C9.
Where are you getting your schedule? So Thursday is Immortals versus NRG at the first slot, and then 100 Thieves versus TL at the second slot. On Friday, the first series is Shopify versus C9, which is absolutely horrible. They are really... But I guess they are scheduling the worst series at the top of the day, so that the people that cannot watch at... What is it for you? 4 p.m.? Yeah, the people who are working at 4 p.m.
On a Friday.
I mean, people who are working at 4 p.m. on a Thursday and a Friday definitely won't miss much if they don't watch IMT Energy and Shopify versus C9. The Shopify versus C9 should be pretty straightforward. I do not think Shopify has shown enough for me to believe that they can put up a win versus even a team like C9 that constantly has happy games. If IMT couldn't beat them, I don't see Shopify doing it. The big series of this week is for sure the Friday's closer, which is Dignitas versus FlyQuest. I think that should tell us a lot about the actual level of Dignitas and about the actual level of FlyQuest too, because we have seen FlyQuest and we saw them lose to TL and we saw them beat Energy kinda, but they lost one game. So it's like, is that indicative of anything or it was just a silly thing that happened? For them, like for the strength of FlyQuest, this is a very important series. And also for the strength of Dignitas to show us, are you actually a contender? Like, can you actually go to Worlds? I think it's for sure the most interesting and important matchup of the week. So that was the one. So they clearly slotted it that way on the last series on the Friday night. Mm-hmm. So prime time.
Yeah, I totally got my wrong schedule. You're right. So it's just a Thursday, Friday. But the most important thing for me on that series is Jensen's revenge game.
Oh, that's true. That's also it's definitely Jensen's revenge game. So he has to play versus
Squad. He says he doesn't care. He only cares about playoffs, but
because regular season doesn't matter. But I think he's wrong, actually. Because regular season is incredibly important in this format. Losing one game losing one series can be very punishing because you only have nine, right? No, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you only have seven series. So it's like if you lose two or three, you're already starting from down below. So like it's just it's just very important to win every single one because it is. They already are one down, so
one team will be 2-1, the other will be 1-2.
Exactly. So that's wild, no? Very important series. Very excited to watch that one.
Awesome. And so that kind of wraps up for our show, I think. Any shout-outs before we kind of close out?
Shout-out to Arch. So Arch has been doing interviews in the NAMN Central account. You know, the NAMN account?
Yep.
That's NAMN Central all on Twitter. You can look it up. And he has been doing interviews with the players, so they're very kind of interesting to read. And we recently recently made a new section on the LCS Profiles website, so you can actually read his interviews over there. So you can read, right now there's only three. They are all Dignitas players, by the way. So we have an interview with Sven, Licorice, and Jensen. So you can read these very, it sounds really silly, but exclusive NAMN interviews on the LCS Profiles website. That's lcsprofiles.com. And it's a new feature that we're going to be having during the rest of the LCS season. So I'm very excited to have interviews be part of the website.
Oh man, that will be awesome. And you can have them all archived and go back to and listen to them.
Yeah, because that's the thing is people were saying that to Arsh that it was kind of hard to read them on Twitter. If you don't have an account, it's really hard to read Twitter because of restrictions that you don't have accounts. And it's also like kind of really hard going back and find them because, you know, it's a lot of threads are a lot of posts and it's all,
Oh, yes.
So indeed, we have an archive for the interviews now. So shout out to Arsh for the idea.
No, that's awesome.
And for doing those interviews.
For me, thank you, Arsh. Keep doing that, the amazing work. I try to promote you as much as possible. And I see you posting and you have, you need to follow him to see some of his posts too. And it's very particular about that. My shout out is to K9 Cat. He's been getting back on the grind as a fan and really started streaming League again. Brave, brave woman. I believe she is rooting for Dignitas, although has a FlyQuest icon. You can find her on the LCS Discord, and she's always active and trying to kind of get herself back in the scene a bit more. So shout out to K9 Cat. All right. That will do it for us. I hope you enjoy the episodes. If you know of someone or you want to come on, just hit us up. Twitter, Be a Fan Podcast, or at Prime with a 3 LOL. And if you are, I'm sure most of you are much more comfortable with Andrea, you can find her on Jihoon or your Discord, which, where can they find your Discord or Nudo?
Oh, no, Discord is my personal Discord, so it's not a public thing.
Well, you can find her on the NAM.
But
the
you can
NAMN
find me
Discord.
On the NAMN Discord, Oracle Selector Discord. You can even ping me in LCS Discord. I never use it, but you can ping me there at Jihoon. If you want to, you can DM me at Jihoon too, on Twitter and on Discord. And find my work on lcsprofiles.com. Yep.
Perfect, perfect. All right. If nothing else, guys, you continue to be a fan.